we are going to give it away to our Nozbe customers as our back to office, no, back to work promo here in September. So
that was pretty meta when you accidentally said back to office instead of back to work.
Back to no office. Oh, back to no office, yeah. I think is the way. Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books you read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day working on our app, Nozbe.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
All right, and today we will talk about productivity and technology. Because I actually want us to revisit the episodes 17th and 18th, where we talked about, one year ago episodes.
Wow.
Where we talked, and actually you proposed this kind of pyramid of communication idea. So how we communicate and which apps and ways we use to communicate in Nozbe. And I want to revisit this because, first of all, this is a very important thing to talk about anyway. Second of all, I have a few new ideas. And third, actually, I'm finishing a book. I mean, by this time episode airs, this book will be already out because we are going to give it away to our Nozbe customers as our back to office, no, back to work promo here in September. So
that was pretty meta when you accidentally said back to office instead of back to work.
Back to no office. Oh, back to no office, yeah. I think is the way. So anyway, back to work. Mm-hmm. So with that, we are giving away this ebook that that I co-wrote with you and with Magda and with myself. And the thing is,
I didn't write any of it. I just supplied some ideas.
Yeah, you gave ideas. So anyway, you inspired us to do that. Anyway, and it's also based on the pyramid of communication, thing I wrote on Medium. But anyway, there are a few things I want to, I would like to go through all of these levels again with you. And also based on the books that we just read, like Deep Work and the other books. So to just make sure that I understand it correctly and that I actually don't mess this up.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess you should explain from the beginning what the idea was all about, because I suppose few of our listeners were there with us a year ago.
Yeah. I'm sure all the three listeners that will listen to the past episode. So, so the pyramid of communication, the idea is that in a normal office, where you go to the same, and especially if you have this open space, they have in Facebook, and when the ideas flow between people. So when you have a normal office, you bump into people, you talk to people, and you this is how you communicate most of the time. This is actually a very costly communication. So when you talk to people, because the whole purpose of us, working is to work on our stuff, is to work on the things that we work on. Especially in our case of Nozbe, where we all are, it's an all distributed team and we all work from home. We actually, got to this, to dividing the levels or the ways we communicate. So the idea is this: our work should be asynchronous. So we should, get our stuff done, and then we have to communicate results of our work to our team members. And
wait, I'll stop you right there, because I think it might not be obvious to everyone what it actually means to work asynchronously versus synchronously. Can you explain that?
So the idea is this: you work on your stuff, you code, or I write an article or things like that, or I do some CEO stuff, whatever that means. So I do some stuff, and then I post, for example, a task or some information to the team members in some way, using some program, some form of communication, and asynchronous means I don't expect them to reply right away. I just, give them the information and let them, work on that when they decide they have time for that. So the idea is we work on our stuff, we communicate it to the others, and we don't expect them to reply right away. We expect them to reply at some point or react or pick it up or whatever, but at their pace.
Yeah, so essentially synchronous means at the same time. Asynchronous means not at the same time. So when you are in a meeting at the office or via Skype or whatever, or even like chatting at the same time, that's synchronous. And asynchronous is when you use email, for example, or use one of these tools like Nosby or GitHub or whatever, where you post like to this feed of sorts that then someone can pick up the work at their own pace, and that means asynchronous.
Yes, and the whole pyramid of communication that we mentioned is this, is everything in between very asynchronous work. So sometimes somewhere I really work on my stuff and post it and don't expect anything in real time to be responded to, mm-hmm. and the very synchronous work where I just talk to you. You know, when I'm mm-hmm. where we are face to face, and we face to face via Zoom like here, or face to face, in an office where I talk to you. So where it's very synchronous. So in this pyramid, we explain, and it's a pyramid. Why? Because we think and we believe that there should be more asynchronous work and less synchronous work. So the synchronous work, the meetings, the face to face chats. Should be the tip. I mean, the tip of the iceberg, like the tip of the pyramid, like the point of the mm-hmm. pyramid, the peak of the pyramid, and mm-hmm. the bottom of the pyramid. I think the most of the time we should spend asynchronously. So we should spend working our stuff.
Mm-hmm. The foundation of sorts.
Exactly, and that's why. And then we have talked about these five levels that constitute this pyramid of communication. So how we get from very asynchronous work to the synchronous work, and what are these levels, and what are the apps that we use at each level? Because mm-hmm. for us, we try to why do we have these levels? Because we try to distinguish, because for some work, you don't need anyone talking to you because you just want to do your work alone. For mm-hmm. some work, you need some kind of communication. For some work, you need some more communication. And for some, work like meetings and things like that, you need, this very synchronous work. So like for different purpose, for different kind of effectiveness and, efficiency, you need different level of communication.
Yeah, so the notion of a pyramid of communication stems from an observation that this is not about better or worse, but rather this is a trade-off.
Yeah.
So synchronous gives you, the more synchronous you are, the more bandwidth you have. So mm-hmm. if you are face-to-face, in person, in one physical place, and you just work together, you have the fullest capability or like the fullest mental throughput, right? Which is good. But the problem is that it's very, very expensive.
Yes.
In the sense that it takes you away from your work. That there's always things people might want from you, and then you get distracted. Like your day is, becomes a million 5 second slices, and then you cannot focus. And without hours long chunks of uninterrupted time, it's very difficult to do many kinds of good work. And so we try to distinguish, like most of the time, asynchronous is just fine because it gives you enough bandwidth of communication to do the work just fine. And it's very cheap because everyone can do it in their own time.
Exactly. And actually, when I was doing a presentation to a big telecom company about this kind of work, mm-hmm. and I explained to the CEO that, I understand that you have to spend more time in the synchronous zone and more than asynchronous. And he was like, no, I don't want to be in the synchronous zone as much as I am right now. I don't want to be in all these meetings, I actually want to follow your pyramid. So he was admitting that he was, his pyramid was not as sharp as it should be, his pyramid should be sharper with the synchronous communication, with face-to-face meetings, a lot fewer than he had now, than he also needed his alone time, his deep work, his first level of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So we discussed what a pyramid is, and I want to go through these levels now.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay, so the first level is the very asynchronous work. And we mentioned in the previous episodes that it's basically here where we get our work done. So we, you know, you work on your code in Xcode or wherever you do that magic, and then I do things, you know, in my, you know, like for example, I write articles or blog posts or things like that, or write stuff for my company in my, you know, word processor of choice, which is not Word, of course, and because I work on an iPad anyway. So anyway, I have my tools for work. You have your tools for work. For example, the designer has some Adobe tools for his work. You know, we have our tools for work, and we communicate very low level. I mean, very low frequency. For example, you do some code and you post it on GitHub. Like you send the commit to GitHub, and you don't expect anyone to react to it right now. You just you know, communicate it to the team asynchronously that you just, you know, prepared some code and you published it, you know, you put it on GitHub. And for example, in my case, I did some tasks. For example, in Nozbe, I wrote some things and I post a comment in one of these tasks, and for example, delegated to, for example, my assistant or something like that. But I don't expect her or him or whoever to react to this right now at this moment. I just tell them that I have accomplished a chunk of work and this is my result. Right? Mm-hmm. And here, I would emphasize in this first level that really, in this first level, it's all about deep work. So it's all about your focus on getting your stuff done. And just sending is like almost a one-way communication for now. I mean, you publish as a commit to a GitHub, or I publish as a, you know, a task delegated, or just comment on a task. You publish outcome of your work without expecting anything immediate to happen. All you want to do is just, you know, communicate to the team that you've done a bit of work, right?
Right.
And this would be all in the first level for me. So I wouldn't include here really the back and forth in the comments. I would just say that in the first level, it's all about deep work and just publishing your information out to the team so that the team knows.
Okay, so you treat it almost as a separate level, even with the same tools, because like if you're saying that if I just push something like, hey, here it is, that's different from, you know, using those same tools, but hey, here it is and I need feedback, and then going back and forth, that's different.
Exactly. I would move the back and forth to the second level of communication.
So that's actually a good observation, yeah.
Right? So in the first level, my deep work, my work, and publishing it out to the team, publishing it out to whoever you have to publish it out, as your form of communication, but really low level, just saying, hey, I did that, thank you very much, right? So without anything else. So this would be for me the first level of communication. And then the second level, because the second level of communication, this is the back and forth, which is still not required as immediate back and forth. So for example, you publish something on a Slack channel just for the team to know, and, you know, and they can react to it or not, whatever happens, you don't mind. You can at mention somebody in the comment or delegate a task and asking for some feedback. So this is the second level where you actually want to interact with people. But again, you don't need the feedback right now. You only wanted to publish it out. And you wanted to give information. Okay, but now I need your feedback. But now I need something, you know, I need something from you, right? So, for example, I create a task for my assistant and delegate it to her. And in this way, she knows it's for her, but it's not like, do it now, it's urgent, whatever. No, it's just, I need your, you know, feedback, or I need something from you. So the second level would be more interaction, because then they might reply to you right away, they might reply to you later. So you have this back and forth, you communicate either through Slack channels or through comments in Nozbe, but again, you don't expect an immediate response, but you expect a response.
Well, I would be inclined to not include Slack there, only asynchronous tools like email, GitHub, Nozbe, etc. Because even though you could do that in Slack, post somewhere something and not expect an immediate response, the way Slack is structured...
You want actually an immediate response, right?
Yeah, or it's not even that, but you post something on the channel and then someone else replies and you want to like be on top of everything else. So like the different conversations get tangled together. So you can't just put it there and then see later if someone replied for this particular thing.
Right.
Because when you post it to a channel, other things happen.
So actually, I think I get it. So like in the second level, you would say the second level of communication is actually the back and forth, and the back and forth can be done either with, for example, Nosby comments, these kind of things, or for example, email, right? The old school email. So
still using like fundamentally asynchronous tools.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then you use this asynchronous tools, but we expect feedback. We expect back and forth. We expect there will be some interaction here. This is not just like the level one, I did some work, here it is. This is here it is, I need your feedback, or please do this for me, or please let me know what you think. This is this kind of reaction. Again, we still don't require immediate response. So even if my assistant, you know, gets back to me in a few hours or whatever, you know, it's fine. As long as I don't move up to the third level.
Right. And the reason why I want to emphasize that it would still be using these asynchronous tools is that when you have like different, let's just call them threads, right? Mm-hmm. Like very broadly. So in emails, you have different email threads. In Nosby, you have different tasks. In GitHub, say you can have different issues and pull requests. You can like pick and choose more easily. Like you're interested in this because this is where you have to get your work done right now. Mm-hmm. So when you look at this, and the way those are structured is that you can ignore everything else and it's still like sitting there, left as, you know, marked as unread, mm-hmm. not punishing you for not reading them yet. Just waiting for you to look at them at your own pace.
Exactly. And this is what we actually teach. For example, in my 10-step course, for example, when I talk about email, I actually teach people that, you know, if they can, and usually they should be able to do that, they should choose to open email to process email and not react to each incoming email message. So mm-hmm. the idea is that email actually fits here very well if you use email and if you're that old school, but that you should use email like on your, I mean, you should choose to open email to process email. And this the same way goes to Nosby comments, for example, or GitHub, you know, pull requests or GitHub mm-hmm. Issues where you go to GitHub to actually react on these things, to actually communicate, to respond to the requests that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the second level. And the third level, it's already the direct response thing. So this is where you actually expect people to reply pretty quickly. So this can be the Slack channels, which is like slower a little bit because you might post something and come back a little bit later. But as you said, usually because the channel, Slack channel or, you know, HipChat channel or any other chat channel works is that it goes pretty fast. So mm-hmm. so if you miss out on a discussion, you might actually not be able to respond anyway because everybody's moved on to something else. And this is also the direct messages. So direct messages via Slack, like we use in our company, or like between each other, like we use iMessage or you mm-hmm. use WhatsApp or, you know, things like that, where you actually, when you send send a message like that, you actually expect a pretty quick response. And why I'm saying this is when you choose to use something like that, like for example, my assistant and me, if she writes to me something in a comment to a task, I assume there's nothing urgent there. It's the second level of communication. I can reply where I'm free to reply. But if she writes to me a direct message via Slack, mm-hmm. I know she wants to announce something to me quickly, and she wants actually me to read it now. So this way, this is like this more direct, the third level of communication. So it's more synchronous now because we actually expect these chats to be pretty quick, to do this back and forth to be pretty quick.
And definitely like direct message or instant message of any sort, even more so than the Slack channel. Mm-hmm. I wanted to like say Slack channel is not the same as using something like email or Nosby or GitHub. But still, like if someone posts something on a channel, unless they like at mention you so that you would mm-hmm. start getting a notification, you can generally like not look at them for a while and then see what happened. Though if you do post, like ask a question, you wait for like a quick response. But if someone writes to you like personally, then it's like you almost always want to reply as soon as you can, because it's personal, right? You're chatting with someone. It's not a discussion like in the company. No, you're discussing with someone.
Yeah. So, for example, if somebody mentions you on the channel or in Nosby comment, how would you where would you put it? You would put it in the second level or the third level already?
Oh, that's interesting. I suppose that depends. I'm not 100% sure yet. If someone at mentions me on Slack, I'll definitely like go look at it immediately.
You see?
To see if
I it's
need
urgent.
To reply immediately. Yeah. And the same with Nosby. Like sometimes I'll just look at it and be like, okay, not now, and I'll leave a star or something like that to deal with it later. But I'll definitely take a look now, because otherwise they wouldn't at mention me, right? Like the whole point of the at mention is that you get notified now.
Yeah, so it's still more like a third level already. So it's more like a direct message because the person who uses at mention to you actually wants you to read it now.
Exactly.
And this is the difference between the second level. The second level is I send you a comment, but I don't need you to read it now. I need you to read it, but I don't need you to read it now. And with third level, this would be it. This would be, the softer way is at mention and things like that. But as you said, the more like brute force is where I actually directly message you. It means like I really want you to, to pay attention to me right now and to actually reply to me as soon as possible.
Yeah, definitely. There's like different flavors of it. And it's definitely like directly writing to you is more synchronous, more like direct than at mentioning you on a channel or in Nosby, for example. But it's in a similar ballpark.
Yeah, perfectly. So so after that we have voice, the old school voice. So just if you think about it, and this is really why it's the pyramid. I want to stop here just to reiterate this. It's a pyramid, and as you can see, up until this point, we actually don't interact verbally. What we do is we just use everything asynchronously, more or less, and getting to the synchronous later. So if you think about it, you can perform all these three basic levels, which are the most important, even if you're not in the same physical space. You can perform all five, actually, not in the same physical space. But what I'm saying is that lots of offices, because they have this open office, thing going on, are really built in the wrong way, because they encourage the peak of the pyramid. They encourage the direct communication, the voice communication or the face to face communication, and they shouldn't be that. I mean, and if you think about it, this for us, this is the last part of the pyramid. They shouldn't be like that. So they shouldn't be encouraging that. And and we have books. We'll get back to it. We have books that prove our point anyway, and we've discussed them in the previous shows. But anyway, so we're coming to voice. So voice is the thing that it's almost 100% synchronous, but again, almost, because you can actually do voice where you're doing something else. I mean, you cannot, be focused on a different, or writing something and then speaking to somebody anyway. But what you can do is you can speak to somebody and, for example, be cleaning up your desk, doing some mindless things, be driving, you can do some other things. You don't have to be 100%, focused on this person. You mean you're listening to them and you're trying to respond, but you don't have to be like, you can still, you have, have still some, brain capacities to do something which doesn't require focus.
Yeah, I can give an example of that. Every morning at 10, we have this 15-minute meeting for developers where we kind of try to give everyone an update, like what I've been working on, what I plan to do today, is anything blocking me, just to kind of see what everybody is up to, and also to chat for a few minutes since we don't see each other every day. And I always do it from my iPhone. I never do video. I always do only voice, because this way I can walk around the house, see if something needs to be cleaned up, make my bed or whatever that I haven't done in the morning, just like prepare my day while others are speaking. And then if I have to speak, I can unmute myself, say something. So it requires my attention because I can't realistically be doing anything else that requires my attention. But it doesn't require 100% of my presence, right? I can walk around the house. It's fine. No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah. So the same goes for me. Like very, very often, if I'm on the go and I have to chat with somebody, but I'm, for example, getting from one from A to B, I can actually do it in the car, or I'm waiting, you know, for something. So, or I'm in the cafeteria, I'm having my breakfast. Actually, the Scrum meeting that you just mentioned, like on Fridays, very often I would do just that. I would be sitting in the cafeteria having a breakfast and doing my weekly review, for example. And then in the same time, and I would just stop the weekly review. I would be still eating my breakfast and just listening to the, you know, to the Scrum meeting and, you know, listening to everyone, and then, you know, jump in when was my turn. So, so this is the voice thing. And then there's the video, or actually face to face. So this is where like we do right now. I mean, and at this moment where we record this podcast, you know, we are face to face through Zoom application, but we are face to face. And realistically, we cannot do anything else. We are focused 100% on this podcast, on our discussion.
Here and now.
Here and now. And this is the most expensive, you know, use of our time, because, you know, it actually, we use for 1 hour, you know, recording, we actually spent, you know, 2 man hours, because both of us, you know, are out for 1 hour of work at the same time.
And we can't do anything else at the time. It requires all of our presence.
Exactly. So we cannot even daydream. I mean, you know, it's not even allowed. Anyway, so, and this is what we mentioned also in the, in our past episodes, when we talked about our design fight. It's a very expensive meeting, because there are like 5 or 6 of us at the same time for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's a very expensive meeting, but it's required.
6 people for more like 2.5 hours usually, which is 15 person hours.
Yeah. So just think about it. You know, it's a lot of, you know, person hours, you know, wasted or used, depending how you look at it, on this one meeting. But again, we had to weigh the pros and cons of this meeting. Why? We need this meeting, and, you know, we decided it's actually, you know, it was our conscious decision. It wasn't like, you know, let's do it. Yeah, why not? You know, it was a conscious decision. Okay, let's do it like this. What we do is that before the meeting, we are very well prepared. So, we have all the topics lined up that we are going to discuss. We actually even commented on the topics before the episode. So already, like, the people who post topics already know some of the people from some of other people's, you know, opinions. So so we are really ready for the meeting. So the idea is that in this face-to-face meetings, or like video chat, like we use Zoom, or you know, you used to use Skype for that, but Skype didn't work very well. Zoom works very well for that. There's Google Hangouts, which not always works very well. But anyway, so we have, you know, the face-to-face meetings require are the most expensive, require lots of attention, but if done well, if prepared well, and consciously, you know, chosen, then they make sense. But the problem with many modern companies is that we can schedule meetings because Outlook is very, very well prepared for scheduling meetings, and not because we really need these meetings and because we are prepared. I mean, actually, it happened a few times in our design fight where we were not prepared well, and we saw that the meeting doesn't go well. We just ended it. Yeah. We decided, okay, let's cut it here and let's prepare better for next week's
Because meeting. It would be a waste of time. Like a 15 person hour meeting is almost as if you were if you hired someone like part time, like for half of full time. That's for this 1 weekly meeting. Yeah. It's very expensive. So it's not a bad thing to meet in person or over video, but you better have a good reason for it. Because like it's not just that it takes this much time, but it's synchronous. So it requires all of our presence at the same time. So we have to schedule everything else, all of our work, around this assumption that Wednesday 12 o'clock is a design fight. So like you just mentioned it, but you didn't spell it out. It's actually more than that, because we have to prepare.
Yeah.
But the preparation, that's asynchronous. So even for this meeting, like, it should be obvious for anyone doing the meetings, but as we know in real world, it's not always so. Like, you have to prepare for the meeting, and we spend a lot of time preparing for this because then it actually makes sense. So it takes more time, but most of that time, it's spread around the week. We do it when each individual member feels like they have time to do it. And different people will spend different time for preparations depending on, you know, how much they're involved or how much time they have this particular week or whatever, you know, for whatever reason. So the preparation part is much more flexible. It doesn't have the full throughput of being in the like having full presence, full synchronous presence, but it doesn't matter because it's preparation.
Yeah, but really, if you think about it, I mean, people have been complaining a lot about this, that we schedule meetings because it's just the easiest, because people don't want to make decisions, people don't want to decide things. You know, they just want to have this brainstorming sessions. And what we know from the actually How to Fly the Horse, I think, was that the brainstorming doesn't really work. It works. Quick feedback works. It's good, for example, that when you prepare a topic for the meeting and you discuss this on the meeting and you ask for feedback, then very often what is very, very good is this, another concept, from the Blink, actually book by Malcolm Gladwell, is that, some people have gut reactions to things. So they can actually give you their gut reactions to what you just prepared, which is good because then you can take this feedback in and, decide if it makes sense or not. And this is a good thing. But creating something together in a brainstorming session is not fruitful. It's actually fruitless. It doesn't make any sense, and it's a waste of time. So that's why it's so important to make the one-to-one meeting, the face-to-face meetings, the video face-to-face meetings or in-person face-to-face meetings, the peak of your pyramid of communication. So this is like you've been working asynchronously for these things. You've been getting feedback asynchronously on this several levels, and you got to this peak, and then you meet, you have a brainstorming feedback session, so you get really quick feedback, and then you get back again to your asynchronous work, to your deep work, to improve.
And it's this flow, this wave, right?
Yeah.
So to slightly rephrase what you said, to this meeting there's this flow where we like everyone prepares asynchronously, because otherwise the synchronous work is slow, because everyone has to like read a part or like ask an obvious question is blocking the whole conversation, and we also like sometimes give like small pieces of feedback. Online, right? Asynchronously. But then the reason why this is useful to have this session synchronously is because when people have like more in-depth questions or like ideas, like just small things, then it is useful to have a quick back and forth at the same time, so we can like build, like each of us can build this mental picture of what we're trying to achieve, and someone will like shoot a random idea, and like we won't explore it to the end. That would be called brainstorming, and that wouldn't be so good. But like it is like part of this brainstorming thing. But cut like at the point, not at the finish line, but to the point where we like start exploring this together. Start like when someone asks a question or has feedback or has an idea, we can all inhale this. Yeah. Kind of, right? In a way that would be difficult to do if it was spread around the week, right? But then we take that. Some of us, one of us will write down notes so that everyone can like, again, review this and think about it some more, maybe add some more feedback asynchronously, and then get back to work on the design, on an idea, on a proposal, right? And start analyzing it again. In solitude, asynchronously.
Exactly. So as you can see, the whole idea is that it goes from asynchronous work to synchronous work, like, and not the other way around. And this concept is good not only for distributed teams like ours. I mean, in our case, it's easier to do because we are not in the same open office, for example. But still, I would argue that this concept should be used in any office, in any kind of company, because then, as we discussed, discussing the book, the deep work, you value actually your people's time, and people actually, and you actually use their brain cells to actually create good things. Like what I wanted to mention here is what you said a little bit, that for example, in our design fight, where we get, where we start brainstorming feedback on a concept, and we say, okay, but let's explore the other way. What we recently learned was not to go deeper at this moment, but say, okay, so who will go deeper here and explore this concept and prepare for the next round, instead of us wasting time a little bit trying to make it up as we go. you know, because we just uncovered a new route. So let's explore, let someone explore the route and give feedback to this person later, instead of exploring the route right now and do it live, do it online with so many people at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So instead of going deep to the finish line, go broader.
Yeah.
And also get everyone's sense of how it is. So at some point we'll be like, okay, this is good. And then we'll converge to this one point and that will be good, right? But until then, diverge and let the explorations go deeper on these divergent paths asynchronously.
Exactly. So the thing is that in my book, the No Office Apps book, actually the idea of this ebook is to explain the apps that we use. But before I explain the apps, I'm trying to sell the point of how the communication should be done first, and then I explained which apps we actually use to get it all done. So on each level, I give examples of the apps that we use. For example, on the level one, I talk about our own apps that we use for our deep work, and then apps like Nosby or GitHub, where you actually post the results of your work. Or for example, like we use Confluence to post like some results of our, you know, deep working on something. Mm-hmm. And then the second level is the comments section of these apps. So the comments section is where the action starts happening, where you ask for feedback. So it would be the comments section in Nosby. It would be the comments on the Confluence, for example, you know, papers. And then it would be, for example, the comments on issues or you know, things like that on the GitHub. And then the third level would be and also on the second level would be also email, because some people want feedback, you know, want to have feedback via email, especially when you work with people from, you know, outside of your team.
Yeah, it's a tool that we don't think is great, but it fits the same idea, right? Yeah. It's still asynchronous.
Exactly. And in case of email, you know, what I'm going to, you know, mention there as well is that, you know, we prefer to not use email inside the company, inside the team, because we don't think it's the most efficient way to communicate. Because when you comment on a task or in a specific issue in GitHub, you know, there is the comment right there. You don't have to explain the context. You just dig deeper into the feedback itself. With email, you have to explain the context of everything, and it's not the best thing to use, and especially that, you know, emails usually get your emails about, you know, your emails from your team very often mix with the emails from outside world, which is
right.
Even more complicated.
There's plenty of reasons.
Exactly. And then on the third level, we talk about direct communication. So in the direct communication thing, we use Slack. We use Slack channels and Slack direct messaging. The good thing about Slack is platform agnostic, just like Nosby. So everybody on the team has Slack. We don't have to, you know, if I send direct messages from Slack, I know that everybody will get it. I don't care if they have an iPhone, Android, or whatever they have. But we also use, for example, iMessage when we are, you know, among the Apple people a lot. We use sometimes even Skype messaging, but not that much. What we don't use is we don't use Facebook Messenger, because we actually, Facebook is a black hole. You don't want to open Facebook, because then you start, you know, getting all
that's
this
a bad idea.
It's a nightmare. So you get, you know, all these other, you know, communication from Facebook, because Facebook doesn't want you to really work and but consume their content. So I wouldn't use Facebook Messenger and Facebook groups for that as much. Mm-hmm. But I give an example of a Facebook group that we did, for example, for the launch team of my other ebook. Anyway, this is level three. Level four, voice. And for voice, we use like normal voice, like we can actually call people on the phone. But we don't use it that much. We prefer to use Skype. Or FaceTime audio, like these kind of, or actually even, you know, video chats like Zoom, but we just turn off the video as you mentioned in your example.
Mm-hmm. We also used Slack for calling people. They added it sometime, it worked reasonably well for most people. But like we stopped using it for like technical issues. But it's also a pretty good tool. yeah. in general.
Yeah, the problem was that, you know, we spent too much time debugging the problem. So, I mean, somebody couldn't connect or just didn't have a right connection. Yeah. But Slack is actually moving in this direction as well. So they will, you know, they do enable this video, this audio calling. Mm-hmm. And for video, the last one, so we either meet face-to-face, which in our case happens very rarely. We mm-hmm. use Zoom, which works the best for us at this point, because it works very well just like for us right now, one-on-one. And for like group meetings, it's not free. It's for free until 40 minutes, then later you have to actually pay. But it's fine. It's really and it works on mobile as well. So if you have an iPhone mm-hmm. or iPad or Android, you can actually, you know, it's very reliably use it with video calling. And mm-hmm. And we also use Skype for that in some cases, and also FaceTime, FaceTime video, which, for example, for us, like we use iPhones, it's just natural way to speak.
We don't use Skype very, very often these days, and there's also like Google Hangouts.
Yeah.
Which didn't work very well for us, but it could work for other people.
Yeah, some perhaps. People really swear by it, but in our case, it gave us lots of problems and also technical issues. I mean, maybe, you know, we were bad luck or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's there. And that's it. And I think the bonus I want to add in the book is our reunions. So how we do the reunions, which we also discussed in past episodes, that you can also like take the level 5 to a new level if you just meet like really and do like a more get together thing that you don't work so much effectively. But what happens is you sharpen the saw, you recharge your batteries. We just spend time together. You do some brainstorming. You do some just chatting about things. You do some eating together out and things like that. So our Nosby reunions are for that. This is like the sixth. So the fifth level with a bonus, with a twist, mm-hmm. is where we actually recharge batteries. You know, sharpen the saw as I mentioned. Do this to be able to work effectively later better and give and build rapport with each other to be able to work effectively.
Okay, so just to repeat, level 1 is asynchronous, write only.
Yep.
Level 2 is asynchronous, request for comments. Level 3 is synchronous, direct message, Slack channels. Level 4 is audio meetings. And level 5 is audio plus video meetings or face-to-face.
Exactly.
It's interesting that you kind of combine the video and face to face together. I kind of separated them out, like in the original. But it's kind of interesting because you're showing off that the vast majority of the time it's actually not that much different. Like you're getting 95% of the same thing, right? The biggest reasons why we do reunions is also for discussions and like the deepest, more like most strategic discussions, and that's good to meet in person, but only like once or twice a year. But we largely do it just to be in one person because it's so much fun, and we get to get to know each other, which is also valuable. But we like don't think of it almost like on the same scale, on the same spectrum as these other communication tools.
Exactly. And for me, as I said, with the video, you already transmit, you know, most of the things. So you're verbal, you know, you can see your face, your grins, all these things, you already transmit them right away. So actually for me, that's why video is more or less the same as face-to-face, because this mm-hmm. is I mean, just like you look at me right now, you can see, you know, if I'm smiling or not, if I'm, you know, waving my hands like crazy, and I am. So like things like that you can see. And this is why, for example, we insist on doing it also when we have the design fight, because we are going to be arguing a lot. So we want to see other people's faces, other people's attitudes, because then we can actually get this also gut feeling that people have when we propose an idea.
Mm-hmm. And because it's already like so expensive and so important, I think we do want the full presence. We acknowledge that this is a difficult, expensive, long meeting, but if we're going to do it, let's just go all in.
Yes, exactly. Very good point. So that we actually like require that everybody's all in, focus on what we have right now, and not, you know, wanders off and goes, you know, cleaning up the house or something.
Yeah, because otherwise we just get distracted and we don't get things done.
Yeah, and then somebody, even one person distracted, can then, you know, spoil the meeting for everyone else. So it's, they're wasting their other people's time, you know, and we don't want that.
Yeah, but the whole point here, the whole reason why we talk about this pyramid of communication is to become much more conscious of what is this thing I am trying to accomplish, and don't just fall into this trap of thinking, oh, I should do a thing always the same way. Which, like, for many companies, there's like, it's binary,
yeah,
right? It's this false dichotomy. Either I do it via email and I CC everybody, or we do it face-to-face on a meeting in person. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more nuance you can have in between and beyond these two points. And this way, like, you can optimize kind of your communication. Because a lot of what people do in companies is communicate. There's a lot of overhead just for communication, and there's often less and less time. And as companies grow and get bigger, there's less and less time to actually get stuff done. So, you know, knowing just how much time communication takes up, if you can optimize it, if you can like squeeze the communication to take the least amount of time and energy while still doing its job, that will have the best end result.